Tais Fesiani, in Maseches Vav Kameh, on page Daf Lamed Amud Beis, 30b, and we learn the third Toisves, Shtar Sheyesh Po Yeribis, and this is about a special Knas that we learned on the top of the page. Really, let us see the Mishnah. Let us see first the case, which was on Amud Aleph. Hamoitzi Estiv Noi Vekashe L'Rishus Harabim L'Zavlon. This was a special procedure in those times in order to make a fertilizer out of tivnoi, kashoi, these are reeds and such things, and one would bring it out, others would trip on it, and this would make it better for the economy. But this is dangerous. This is a potential source of damage for others. And therefore, the one who brought out must be responsible for all its damages while he brought it out. So this is our current topic, bringing out into the public domain something which preserves the responsibility for you, but removes the possession for you in the meaning that you cannot claim it back if one takes it away, because you shouldn't have put it there. So this seems to be a cheap solution, which several people would use in order to prepare them fertilize their products. So it says what I just said. Huzak b'hinecha achay hayav. If it was a damage to somebody, then it will be responsible. And it's going. Kol hakoydem bohen zaka, and everybody could take it. So the question is, which are the Amoraim are arguing about? What can they take? From the Mishnah, it sounds they can take what they see. Problem is that its value is being increased outside, and it stands to reason that the sages are telling us that this is not a correct way for you to increase the value. Therefore, if somebody takes it, you can claim back him the original value, and what the increased value he can keep for himself as a sort of punishment for you. Why did you left it there? Why did you? This is very, very funny, because you're actually using other people's energy in order for you to take benefit. You take benefit from other people's energy. It can be similar as if one would use like solar things at the caps of other people and take all the energy of them. Or just by walking them and heating the, I don't know, everybody where they step, and somebody would benefit from the energy. And one thing is that this is a potential source of damage for others, which of course you must pay, but another thing is that it just doesn't sound correct. So what doesn't sound correct? This is what the rabbis are arguing about. One rabbi says, you cannot take any advantage, you cannot take any benefit from other people's work. And the other rabbi says, this is true, but we use a punishment, knas. We use a knas in order to deter you, and therefore we take your keren itself, your original value. You cannot claim it back as well, which is the stricter opinion. Amar Rav, bein begufay, bein beshifchay. So Rav is the stricter one. He says, gufay, which is the main thing. Shifchay is the increased value. Bein begufon, bein beshifchon. We say, yuri omar beshifchon, avol loy begufon. Yeah. And Gemara explains it very nicely. Omar, by Mikey Mafliger, Rav sovar kansu gufon, mishom shifchon, uziri sovar, like kansu gufon, mishom gufon. Yeah, very, very simple. For the benefit, they both agree that you cannot take. And Rav says that also, in order for you not to try with such games, we make you lose even what you had before. And an analogy is drawn a few lines below from a shtar, which is the topic of our Toys Fest. The shtar, the suggestion is that the machlekes, the argument of Rav and Zeiri, can be deduced to machlekes tanoim, which can be found in Mishnah, I think. Shtar shekosuv baribis. You know that it is not allowed for Jews to take ribis. Ribis is this is when you interest loan for interest. This is forbidden, not allowed. Therefore, if you write it down into your shtar, the paper that I claim a lot of money of you in interest, then they will punish you and you cannot claim your money back. And a similar argument can be said, that, and a similar argument is said, that you lose all your money, or you lose just the ribis itself, the interest, which is no punishment. This is something that you are not entitled of, because Torah didn't give you an entitlement. It seems something similar, looks like something similar. Yes, this is just first approach. Gemara later rejects the idea and shows the differences, but this is not the topic of today's Toys Fest. The topic is that you have the similar, you have the analogy here. Shtar shekosuv by ribis. You have this document of loan, and this is by interest. Konsin onoy soy, ve'enoy goy ve, lo yesa keren ve lo yesa ribis. The lender cannot get back, not even the original. Well, you did Rabbi Meir, and this is Rabbi Meir, which sounds very much like Rav in our Mishnah's interpretation. So this is similar to Zeiri. Goy vayesa kerna veloyesa ribis. And that's it. Ses Toys Fest. Nirelari, so it seems to be reasonable for Ri, she Rabbi Meir, who was the stricter opinion in the case of ribis, koines lehafsit achoiv legamre. So his intention is to make him lose totally the loan. Afilu, so here comes something which was not present in the case of the reeds. Afilu behoidua the eidus acheres kidemashma lishna the ingo veloyasaker veloyaser. So this is how the language of the Mishnah sounded, that he cannot get back, even if you have haida, which is very interesting. What is haida? Haida, it means admission. Admission is, according to some explanations, admission can be seen as his haidus. Admission can say, I promise you that I give to you. It can work, an admission, even without anything, even without being true. So I can admit that I owe you $100, and now I have to pay you $100 just because I said so. Even if you said, yeah, no, you didn't do, which is a very funny thing, but let's not get into details about this. The point here being is, if they come into Beis Din, the borrower might claim that, look, I was in problem, therefore I accepted this offer, and I got this loan for ribis, for interest, but now I don't really want to pay it back. And true, this shtar is correct. This document is 100% true and right, and I would have to pay, but really, to tell the truth, I don't really want to. And this guy wanted to give me money for interest, but I don't want to pay. So he can claim this. And even so it doesn't help really if the lender gets some witnesses. So what does it help? The problem is not that we don't believe you. We believe you. By the way, for what are you bringing these witnesses now? For the fact that you were sinning? This would invoke a very interesting principle in Aloha, that Ein Odom Mesim Atzmai Rosho. We do not believe somebody who, when he's testifying about that he was doing something evil. Lending interest is, okay, generally it's not considered evil, But here it's a chet, it's an avera. You did something that the Torah was not allowing. What is that the Torah does not allow you? I think the correct language is something like lo tosim alecha neshech. You should not put an interest. The emphasis is on put. What is put? It's not that you took the interest. Not, the sin itself does not consist by taking the interest. It's by putting the interest. It's like by putting on the other party the fact itself, which is a pressure on the other, on the borrower's shoulder, that he must pay it back. And you should not do it. So by writing this shtar itself, the Gemara points out, and later on Tosfos quotes it as well, that this is in and of itself is a sin. And now he is bringing witnesses to show that he indeed sinned. What he does not need really, because he has a shtar, it was a very good document to prove it, and yes, he doesn't know. Yeah, the other party can pay if he wants. This always is possible. I don't think that if he on the spot starts to pay, then I don't know, maybe the judges intervene and say that stop, please don't pay this evil guy because the Torah forbids it. I don't know, but I know that I think that Tosfos is not speaking about such a case here, rather about the case when the borrower does not want to pay. Okay, so this is the stricture of Rabbi Meir. Okay, so it sounds like he doesn't get a penny. And the further proof to this idea of Ri is that it is being compared to... What is the other possibility? Other possibilities, maybe I think the other possibility is that you would think that you have to pay if you have either admission of borrower or witnesses. But from the fact that it is being compared to our case, to our Mishnah, which is speaking about this trashing and tripping on reeds and such things, this can be a further proof. Midabadame lekansei gufa mishum shifkoi shemafsid gufa momoin. Yes, over there, in that case, it is also the case that he loses the money itself. And I don't know how to connect it to the idea of Haidoe, Eidus Acheres, because this is just not Shayach to say that there are... what kind of admission is here? Maybe I think that this would work even in a case when one would come, yes, I was the one, I admit, I was the one to take your reeds away, sorry for I did this, but... I think I can do this because, you know, you left it all over there. So, yes, this may be the conversation. And, by the way, witnesses doesn't help as well. It's the same problem here. Yes. The ein lahak shoyis de perek ez eun neshech medame hach de hoche de shtar sheyesh per ribis le shtar echoy hamukdomin. And you should not ask a question from over there where we learn about this shtar. There is another shtar which is compared. So now Tosfos is dealing with comparing cases. Now we compared this case to threshing, trapping, grinding reeds, and over there there is another type of comparison when it's shtar mukdam. What is shtar mukdam? Shtar mukdam is a document that is predated and it is possible to cheat somehow when you have a shtar mukdam. The way how to cheat with a shtar mukdam, idea is here that shtar is basically a shibud. So you can collect money in case of not paying back loan. One can collect goods based on the date of the start. So everything what was present in the date of the start, you can collect, even when it went out. Okay, so if it's predated, then everything is meshubad. Everything is everything you can collect back, even after selling. But if this date is not correct, this date was really later on, then you have a smaller, not so many things to collect, because maybe in the interim he sent all these things. Yes. So what's the law about these shtarei hamukdamim? I think the law is that you indeed have the argument of Rabbi Meir and Chachamim, just like we see here in the case of ribis, interest, but no argument is being in the case of predated documents. Let's see what's the rule regarding predated documents. Predated documents, Chachamim say that they may be used. Yeah, Chachamim admit in this case. Okay, so it's not that clear. But what is clear that Rabbi Meir... Okay, so it's Reish Lakish Rabbi Yohanan are arguing about it, but the point being here, I think, is that Rabbi Meir says so. Is this what Taishves say? Let's see. In the Akshoys, the Perkis of Neshek, Medami Hach Nehoche, the Shtar Sheyesh Poi Ribis, the Shtar Echoy of Amuktomim, Umuke Hahi, the Shtar Echoy, Rabbi Meir. Okay, so the predated documents, the invalidity of the predated documents seems to be like Rabbi Meir. And why should it be a problem? I think because by predated documents, what's the law? Okay, so over there you can have something similar type of xira that you have here, that you can collect from the real date, provided that you know the real date. I don't know how you know the real date. Okay, so let's assume that you know somehow the date, and the deal here is that we decide that we go according to the opinion that says that this Mishnah, which invalidates predated documents, is according to Rabbi Meir, and the point being here is the original assumption of Tosfos was that Rabbi Meir says that it does not help whether you bring either other witnesses or admission from the part of the other guy. So what is this? These both things have a common denominator, that they are proofs. They are proving the fact that the loan was made. So, if we read it further, it will be clear, because this is the basic difference. So here you see, in Bava Metzia, when the original place for this ribis, this interest case, you see a very interesting thing, that this is being compared to something really other thing. And it is a problem maybe with the concept of comparison altogether, because here we wanted to learn something by from the fact that the Gemara compared this case, to our Mishnah. And now here you see that two basically different things are compared. One thing is this ribis. Okay, one thing is ribis in both cases. The other thing is chov hamuktamin, umukei achi deshtare chov kerabi meir, ehechim edame. So how is it possible to compare the two? Good question. I don't really know what is the point of this question. How is it possible to to compare, because indeed in the Gemara it does compare. So how is it possible to compare? You open up the Gemara and you see that it is possible to compare. The Hocha Mafsid Guf Hamilve, the Hosomena Mafsid Elo Hashtar. Okay, so maybe I really don't know, because over there you do have the case of this document which is fined with interest. So for sure, which case is stricter? For sure, the case of interest is much more stricter, because over there sin is being made, and as a consequence, the loan completely is destroyed as if it never were, and it is impossible to claim the money back ever, because this is a punishment, and this is not questioning the validity of the document that has the rights to claim the money back. This is questioning the business, the deal that was made altogether. So here, in the case of interest, a much broader thing is questioned. The deal itself is questioned, and not just the receipt, the piece of paper which proves that there was a deal. So you can see that there is a big difference of this. Okay, so in the case of interest, you are taking away all this money, and in the case of shtar muktam, you only take the shtar, which implies that you can bring witnesses, you can have admission, and it helps. It comes as a secondary proof document, which takes the place of the first one. But in our case, this is not possible. We're not just pushed away one document and we are waiting for the second. No, it's not the case. We are pushing away the deal itself, because this was conceived in sin, so to say. Why is it so that there is only the document is lost? Because there is no sin being committed during the transaction itself. Sin was committed during writing the document because it was predated, and this was not correct. Interesting thing is, by taking loan for interest is an in and of itself is a sin. The halva oberibis afilu beloishtar, even without a document, it is a sin. Why? Afal gav de amrinan de mishas ksiva uvadle shuma. And you can ask a good question that you find in other places, maybe in this page, you find the fact, which is a side information, that the act itself is being made in the time of writing. So what if we write, what if we do this interest deal only be'al peh, only verbally, without writing anything? Does this mean that no sin is being committed? Summa, the Amrinan, the Mishas Ksiva of Ale Summa. What is Summa? Summa meaning Laisosim. It's the language of the Torah. You should not put, I mentioned already, you should not put an interest in it. Of Ale Summa Belo Ishtar Nami Ika Isura Behalvo. Even though, if you don't write a shtar, there is still a Torah prohibition that you're being over. So if the question is really, if you really transgress the Torah prohibition by writing it down, so if you don't write it down, when do you transgress it? There must be a time, a point in time when do you transgress it. So it just wants to find a point in the timeline, on the line of the time, where the prohibition is being made. Maybe when taking the ribis, late, or Okay, but here, this is being prevented. Okay, yes, because here is a star. Okay, but everybody knows this is just simple reasoning. Everybody knows it is forbidden. Don't do this. If you do this, you are transgressing the prohibition. This is clear and simple, even though that... Okay, so you have to see this from the side. What is this deal with writing the shtar and having the summa having committed the act itself? Okay, so first part of Tosfos here ends. Hiksha Rivo. Rivo asked, Im yafsid kol chayvoy legamre, if this is really so, that all the money, all the loan he lost, motzinu haloive choyte niskar, then we found that the one who took the money is a choyte niskar, is somebody who committed an act of sinning, and he's being rewarded. Why is it so? It is, so to say, an incentive to commit sins, which is no good. Why is it so? He was not allowed to take money as a loan for interest. This seems to be strange formulation, because I thought so far that the law is protecting his rights. We are protecting your right. We don't want you to be victim of usury, and therefore we prohibit to everybody to give you money for interest. But if you accept it, this was not your sin. This was your hard situation, hard monetary situation that you were in dire need of money. And you even mipnei hadchak, because of your pressure on your shoulders, you had to accept such an unfair deal. It's interesting that Riva says that he himself is a choyte. I don't remember currently, but maybe there is a pasuk in the Torah which says you should not even take loan for interest. Usually the Torah writes you should not give loan for interest. Maybe you can say that he was putting a mikshol if they were, a stumbling block. He was causing others to sin, that therefore it is in and of itself is a sin. Maybe this is what it wants to say. So therefore the idea here is not to do this thing, not to punish. How is it possible not to punish? Several ways are possible. One way not to punish, you see that there are two ways actually in punishing. One way is not being able to reclaim the ribis. The other way is not being able to reclaim anything. So this way, the one who asks for the money gives the money. It's very interesting. Usually, there's a very famous case of Manashishis. Two guys are charging a third one by guarding, protecting their money. One wants to guard $100, the other wants to guard $200. And they came suddenly one after the other. And the guard just forgets who was who. And they come back, and they both claim $200. And Rabbi Yossi says, the Chachamim say, you should not give out the third one. Acheva Eliyahu. Eliyahu will come back, and he will say, whose is really this money? Whose this money is really is? Yes. Rabbi Yossi says you put away the whole thing. Because and this is a classical example of tafsinon veloy mafkinon. We are actually loy tafsinon veloy mafkinon. Actually we already have their money in, so to say, our hands. and we don't take away their money. We just don't give it out. We as a base team. And we consider the third party as part of us. Because the third party is not involved in the game anyway. And by taking away the money from the third party, he is not being taken away really anything, because he would anyway have given this out, this money. He just doesn't give it out because he doesn't know whom to give this money. Therefore we say, give it just us, we know whom to give it to, and they keep it. I don't know what will be if Eliyahu comes, how much money will suddenly all the rabbinical courts will have to pay. But anyway, this is the idea. So this could not be said here, because the one who took the loan he doesn't want to give his money to the Beis Din, or the Beis Din doesn't want to take his money, because this is already a stronger thing. This is already taking money out money from somebody's possession. This money is already his. But very interesting, because he has to give the money back anyway.
Maybe a difference can be
that Malvela Haitzuanit, no. He got the money in order for him to spend. This was a loan. This is the basic idea of a loan. You spend and you get it back and you give it back. Now, we cannot claim this money from you. Maybe immediately. We do it only if this we can do immediately. Now we cannot do it this immediately. Because Malvela Haitzuanitna. Other case was, it was not giving Lahaitza. This was giving to Pikadon. This was giving to protect, to safeguard the money. And he didn't have the right to spend it. Therefore, we do have a right to get it and to keep it until Eliyahu comes. So, now the only option that seems to left for us is that leave the money by him, and Riva asks that this is not nice, because this way he was part of this ill deal of money, and he has a reward that he can keep the money, the whole money. So what does Ri says, who was the author of the original answer? Loimei Ri, the Ein Ze Kushya. This is not a question. Ki Hamalve Shemarviach Kansu. Really, the punishment goes against the Malve. You can say that both parties are involved in the sin of giving or taking a loan for interest, so both parties were involved, but only the Malve was the one who would came out in a winning situation. So you are not punishing the loser one here. So the loser you don't call part of the sin, which is very interesting, because you assume that for committing a sin, you have to have something in return. You don't just commit a sin for free. You expect something in return. So he wasn't assuming he was committing a sin. Ki hamilve hamerviach konsu beguf. He was really punished. Machmas hashevach. Really, the goof was punished. Machmas hashevach. That is the original money he doesn't get back, because we are punishing because of the ribis, the interest. Mitekach yizoher, and therefore, because of this, he should be the one next time who will have to be more careful and not to do such things. But we really have no reason to punish the one who got the money, who borrowed the money. Since from the inception, from the beginning, he was borrowing money
by the assumption that at the end he will have to pay it back. What does this last piece of information help us? That he is not rewarded, or he is not assuming that he could win anything. Yes, maybe if he assumes from the beginning, that he will have to pay the money back, then he is not thinking about himself as somebody who commits a sin.